fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Wednesday, it is Wednesday, the 27th day of March, year of our Lord 2024. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Live broadcast begins right now, 0700 Central Time on Republic Broadcasting with my show, the John Moore Show. And, of course, I'm proud to say my show does begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Purpose tip today is to make sure your vehicles are checked out. Springtime is right here. It's more driving might be going on, that your oil has changed, filters, air filters, gas filters, oil filters. Your tires are in good condition. And if you're not competent to do this, make sure you have your qualified mechanic do this. I've been using independent mechanics most of my adult life with great success. Independent mechanics in your neighborhood that have a good reputation. And if you want to have your vehicle be more fuel efficient and last longer, I highly suggest the AMSOIL lubricants that I've been using for, well, I don't know how many years. I first started using them in the 1970s. I've had great success with the AMSOIL lubricants. My first town car went over a quarter million miles. My second town car over a third of a million miles. And my current town car is doing quite well with the AMSOIL it's got in it. So you might want to check that out also. Okay. We're going to have open lines here. I may have a special caller here soon. We talked last night, and we'll see if he calls in. Bill Federer is out on assignment today. And I expect him to be back with us next week. He's got a speaking engagement he's on the road for. A lot going on in the world. Of course, the bridge in Baltimore is the big news. If my friend calls in, we'll be talking more. And he has a lot of expertise in that area of large cargo ships going in and out of these ports. And we'll be talking about that. If he does call in, hopefully he will. The bond that President Trump has to post has been dramatically reduced. I don't know if it's doable for him or not. It may be within the range that he can raise that money and have it posted. I heard a commentator yesterday. I think it was either Steve. I'm not sure which one it was. Those are so many different commentators commenting that, you know, what the Democrats are doing in these civil and criminal trials against President Trump is making him ever more popular and ever more likely to win. I find that to be true myself, and I'm sure you do as well. Every time there's a new lawsuit or a new criminal charge brought against President Trump, his numbers in the polls go up. His support goes up. The money donated to him goes up. I don't know what the Democrats were thinking, but they obviously weren't thinking this through. They didn't really understand the American psyche. They did not understand the popularity of President Trump. They really didn't know what the hell they were doing. But they continue to do it, don't they? I believe he will prevail. If the Attorney General of New York seizes property, which she might do, what's her name, Letitia James, he will get his property back. He will be exonerated, and he will prevail on everything. I've met some of President Trump's lawyers here and there over the years. I met one and talked to one at an event here in my county a few weeks ago. Great guy, very bright, obviously. He's also running for a state office in the state of Missouri. So that would be a challenge, running for statewide office and representing President Trump at the same time. But it's a good thing. President Trump is able to recruit and bring on board his legal team the best and the brightest, and he has certainly done so. In the meantime, we will have open lines here at Republic Broadcasting at 512-248-8252. The bridge, Baltimore, built in 1977. I don't know if I've been over that bridge or not. I lived in Baltimore in 1967 for about 6 months. I visited there in 1985. I may have driven across that bridge in 1985. I quite frankly don't remember. Spectacular bridge, more than a mile long. And that port in Baltimore, there's actually nine ports inside that bridge there. It's the ninth busiest location to load and offload cargo ships on the planet. A really busy place. Now, all that stopped for the time being. When my friend calls in, I asked him to call it at 15 after the hour. We'll see if he does. It's the logistics of clearing that debris are a massive, massive undertaking. Thank goodness the water isn't too deep. That makes a big difference. And because the scuba divers can work there, you don't have to be a hard hat diver to deal with it. Water is not so deep. I don't know how murky it is. I have no idea how murky the water is. The murkier the water is, the more difficult it is to do any work underwater. I am a certified scuba diver myself. I have been in water so murky that I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And I've been in water so clear that I could see fish swimming at 50 feet away from me as I was spearfishing. So I simply don't know the status of that water there. I think it's moved now. The USS Constitution, the ship from the Revolutionary War, was docked there when I was in Baltimore in 1967. I think it's moved up to Boston. I'm not positive. I think it's been moved up to Boston. A real piece of American history there that's been preserved in excellent, excellent condition. If you get a chance to tour the USS Constitution, I do recommend you do so. Old Ironsides was the nickname for that ship. It had very thick sides that cannonballs would literally bounce off of, which, much to the chagrin of the British Navy, who wanted to sink it so bad. A large percentage of American cargo coming into and leaving the United States goes in and out of that port, those nine ports there in Baltimore. What will do the economy? Well, it's going to hurt the economy. Of course it's going to hurt the economy. The only question is how severely. That's the only question. And quite frankly, I don't know. But should the salvage and debris removal should be all hands on deck? It's going to be, it's also a crime scene, of course. Every person on that cargo ship will be held in custody and interrogated probably multiple times. The ship itself will be taken into custody and gone through by qualified forensic people from top to bottom, left to right, to determine what went wrong with that ship. Been referred to by General Mike Flynn, who I met a couple of weeks ago, as a black swan event. Typically, that's referred to as a financial event, but it certainly applies here. An event that comes totally out of the blue, which is completely unexpected. I don't know. I don't know what the consequences are going to be. We've had, 40 or 50 food processing plants burned to the ground here in the United States in the past 2 years. Somebody really wants to hurt us. Is there any doubt about that? Any doubt at all? No doubt in my mind. Now, I don't know. We have other ports, of course, New Orleans, Los Angeles, other places that all have their own vulnerabilities to different ways of being attacked. The one in Baltimore is maybe unique. And the fact that one bridge being brought down could shut down the entire operation for months, hopefully not too many months. I have no doubt whatsoever that qualified men and equipment is being ready to be brought in there as we speak to be clearing that debris, the concrete, the steel, the cables. What a mess to get all that cleared out of the way so the channel can be opened once again for shipping to take place. And moving on from there, we'll have Professor McCanny with us today, the second hour. We'll have my friend Jeff Nyquist with us the third hour. Jeff will probably have some updates on Ukraine and China for us. Typically he does. I always look forward to Professor McKinney's archaeological updates. Something he worked on and found a resolution for the answer to is the Nazca lines in Peru. This part of Peru is high desert. The annual rainfall is measured in maybe an inch or two. It's almost no rain at all. And prior to World War II, there had never been any aircraft to go over that area of any consequence. World War II changed all that, aircraft flying over on a regular basis. And the pilots started seeing these lines in the desert that looked like animals, looked like plants. And they reported their findings. Some took photographs. And that's when the mystery began. It would have been around 1943, 44, along that time frame. A lot of speculation, which led, of course, to archaeologists exploring these lines in the desert and coming up with very wrong reasons for the lines to exist. You can't see them from the ground. You have to be I don't know how many feet up, but hundreds of feet, if not 2,000 or 3,000. You don't really see much until you're about 3,000 feet above the ground. And then it becomes crystal clear that there's all these designs in the desert there. They were speculated to be alien landing sites for alien craft to land, speculated to have spiritual meanings to them, and all kinds of speculation, which didn't amount to a hill of beans. Professor McCanny has a lot of skills. Besides being an amateur archaeologist, which he spent a lot of his adult life in the jungles of Central and South America, he also was involved with the engineering of what's called fractal antennas. And you may recall, if you had a cell phone, 25 years ago, it had a little antenna you pulled up so you could talk on the telephone. And of course, they don't have that anymore. And the reason being, fractal antennas are built inside the cell phones, and they no longer need those little antennas you pull up to talk on the phone. I know when the first bag phones came out, it was about 1994, I had a bag phone. It had a pretty good size antenna you pulled up to be able to talk on it. One of the more popular or well-used fractal antennas looks like a circle that gets larger as it goes from the center to the outside, which just happens to be one of the most frequent rock drawings that we see all over the planet. A lot of speculation whether there's a connection there or not. I simply don't know. But it is interesting to observe that. Let's see if I got a message from my friend Tim. Hopefully he will be here soon. No message yet. So Tim is a Navy veteran, and he was involved with moving very large ships, these helicopter carriers that are not quite as large as an aircraft carrier, but really close, about the same size as the cargo ship that had that accident in Baltimore yesterday morning in the middle of the night, 1:15 local time, I believe it was. So we'll see if Tim calls in. Maybe he had a conflict at the last minute. I'm reading this morning that Ukraine has lowered its expectations for recruitment of new troops. They're apparently having trouble getting men to sign up voluntarily. They have a draft going on, conscription, if you will. Which brings us to something Dave Hodges brought up yesterday. His concern, which I share, that there will be conscription in the United States. We have not had a draft in the United States since the 1970s, during the Vietnam War. And the draft, I believe it was continuous from World War II to the near the end of the Vietnam War. I'm pretty sure it was. It was just a fact of life for American young men for all those decades, including myself. If there's another war which requires manpower we don't have, will there be a draft? Very likely. They can't meet the recruiting goals as it is, and we're at peace. They're falling short, all the services except the Marines. As it so happens, the Marines are the most resistant to what's come to be called wokeness. I'm pretty sure the Marines does not have any male Marines, pretending to be women. I don't believe that's taking place. Or the contrary, women Marines pretending to be men. The Marines have been the most resistant to this wokeness. Thank God bless the Marines. I have a lot of respect for them. I've known and been friends with many, many Marines over the years. And they've all been great guys, very smart, and very patriotic men who love their country, love their Constitution. So will there be a draft? I hope not. I have two grandchildren who are of draft age. My oldest grandson is past that point. And it looks like we got a caller here. We got Dave in New York. Morning, Dave.
Hello, John. Good morning. It sounded like you had some calling time here, so...
Well, we do. We have a break. Hold on, Dave. We'll break.
Okay.
Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available anyplace, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Site is thelibertyman.com. You want to get up to speed on the worst crime in human history? That would be the consequences of the COVID vaccination clot shot. I have a panel at my website. That panel has more than 200 articles and videos by world-class scientists and doctors like Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer. He's saying in no uncertain terms that all of the COVID vaccinations are meant to kill and hurt. They're not side effects. They're the direct intended effects. And, of course, as always, if you have issues with sleep, issues with pain, check out the Energy Cleaner, my home business. When you place your order for your Energy Cleaner, your mattress pad, I personally box it up. I take it to the Little Country Post Office of Cherryville, Missouri, which is also the local destination restaurant. It's called The Junction. Every Friday night they have a catfish buffet, very popular with the locals. And I ship out your Energy Cleaner postal service all over the planet. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. You don't want to give out your credit card on the Internet. Just call my toll-free airline. You don't need to do that. And it'll take your order for your energy cleaner, your mattress pad at 800-592-9543. And we got on hold here. Dave in New York, what's on your mind, Dave?
Yeah, John. Well, it's very interesting. Jim McCanney is amazing in the way he can dig into many different things and see things very objectively much of the time. Of course, in a few cases, he might you might be a novice at something and not look deeply, but I think I have a similar quality. I mean, I'm not like Jim. I'm not saying that, but that a scientist who delves into something independently and doesn't depend on other people, other publications, and looks at something can discover something unique. And what he was very interesting when he talked about the origin of the people groups, because this was always a huge mystery to me. And I think this was last week, possibly the week before, that he said there was a worldwide flood and there were isolated pockets like in India and China of large numbers of people. In other words, this worldwide flood that killed everybody maybe didn't kill everybody, I guess is what he suggested. And that's an interesting take on things because there is a mystery that is unsolved by things that I've read in the Bible, maybe because I haven't studied it well, but it's simply this. You have Caucasian, Mongoloid, and Negroid peoples, plus you have the Indian people who are somewhere in between from India. And the origin of these people groups is totally unclear in the Bible, and they must have come after Noah, if the biblical story is the way it is. And then it's been postulated that Shem, Ham, and Japheth were like suddenly so different. They're all different. You know, you've got a differentiation of three different what we call races out of Noah. And they were born before the flood. I mean, John, I don't know. I mean, there's a story of Babel as well, and that was a miraculous transformation if such thing occurred and languages were suddenly developed and modified. The story, I mean, I can see why people say that the Bible is a fantasy, because the stories, there's parts of them that don't make sense. And, you know, I love to bring up, I mean, my father was a Baptist minister. But I love to bring up the anomalies and things to people in church, and they don't like to hear it. And they claim that the Bible is inspired word of God. And I said, nowhere does it even say that. It says all scripture is given by inspiration. It doesn't define the 66 books. So that was a construction that occurred over time. And I think we need to be brutally honest with our own belief system. And, I mean, don't we, John? Really? What's your take on this? We need to be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the man who wrote the Bible had limited knowledge of what was going on in the rest of the planet. The ancient documents from that survive that from that period of time in South America, Europe, and Asia, all document a flood that took place about the same time. Of course, one of the things that Dr. Velikowski, I think, may give some answers here in regard to what you're talking about, Dave. what none of the professional archaeologists had done. Now, Dr. Velikowski was a medical doctor and amateur archaeologist. What Dr. Velikowski did that no archaeologist had bothered to take the time to do before was to quote unquote reconcile the ancient calendars. You cannot line up events worldwide prior to reconciling the calendars. It can't be done. Once the calendar has been reconciled, then you can line up where events took place around the planet at the same time, which he did. And once the calendars were reconciled from ancient South America, ancient Europe, ancient Northern, ancient Egypt, Europe, Asia, he determined that there was a worldwide flood at the same time. Now, the Hebrews in the Sinai Desert had limited knowledge because, well, that's where they were. You want to hold on, Dave?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll get back to this after.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, my website is thelibertyman.com. New information put there pretty much every day of the week that will educate you, inform you, make you happy, make you sad, make you angry. All the human emotions are waiting for you at thelibertyman.com. Dave, there's,
yeah.
You know, the Christian Bible is full of wisdom. One of the things I like about the Christian Bible is it's a study in human nature. You know, we may have more computer power in our back pocket with a smartphone than NASA had when they allegedly sent men to the moon in the 1960s. But that human nature never changes, does it, Dave?
Well, apparently not. I wish I was an expert on that, John.
Well, it's the history speaks for itself. We'll always have
right.
All the various aspects of human nature, the good and the bad. That's just the way human beings are.
I would say that there have been changes. When the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts and it lighted on people, that changed them in a significant way. And I understand they all have the proclivities and ability to go back to, say, the natural man and do evil. But even greater things will happen in a transformation that's talked about in the Bible, in the New Testament, further on. So let's believe that the bad parts of human nature may eventually evaporate. And that would be amazing, John, and that's what the Bible does predict. And I can't see the future, but that's a hope we can have. Would you agree?
That's a great hope to have on one hand. On the other, the embassy for Saudi Arabia will be open this morning in Washington, D.C., a country that still crucifies people and beheads people.
Right. That has not occurred yet. So, yes, we're still stuck.
Right.
Here, Jeff.
Go ahead. You may not, but my friend Steve Bannoun has given us all information that the intelligence agencies are all conducting research into the Holy Bible, attempting to find hints of technology that has been lost in history, as well as other ancient documents, of course. And as I sometimes say, archaeology has two jobs. One is to find advanced technology. The other is to keep us from finding out about it. So I think Velikovsky's work is very helpful in helping people understand. It's one of the things Velikovsky found. You may recall when the River Nile turned red in the Bible. You recall that?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
Yes.
See, that date was recorded in the Hebrew records, and water all over the planet turned red at the same time. It was not just the Nile River. Now, when the Hebrews were hungry in the desert and they needed something to eat, they had manna from heaven, this brown, sticky substance fell out of the sky. Well, the same brown, sticky substance fell out of the sky in South America, Northern Europe, and Asia at the same time, manna from heaven. So it wasn't anything unique to the Hebrews in the Sinai Desert. It was happening all over the planet at the same time. And the historical records reflect that, and that's what's recorded, Dave.
Yeah, and probably what McKinney is claiming is that this is comet tail debris.
Absolutely.
I believe he said. Yeah.
Oil comes from. Oil comes from comet tails. Water comes from comet tails. We get smacked with these things on a somewhat regular basis, and of course it will happen again at some point in the future.
Well, John, that's not in any of these science books. It's all covered up so amazingly.
I regard Professor McKinney's books as being science books, and it is covered by Professor McKinney's books.
Yes. Well, John, there's other things that that are going on, and I understand. It was very good what you were saying yesterday with Hodges and Bannoun about these, huge wars really, really coming to a head. And it's totally a practical thing. But my thoughts were different, and I didn't want to interject on their talk and their topic. But I see 1984. I mean, that was what, 30 years ago? I don't know how many years ago, right? So 40 years ago, I guess. Yeah, to do the simple math. So, but it's here. It's here now in such a great way, and everything the American public believes has some degree of falsehood in it. That seems to be the case for most people. And some people have uncovered a few things here and there. I mean, we have the 9/11 problem. We have January 6th with the Who's News thing that showed there were probably 300 actors and 20 or 30 professional known media, identified media photographers there for the time before the Trump people got there acting it out, which I couldn't believe it when I saw the whole thing. And I said, well, he's proved his thesis. Is he wrong? So, And then it goes on and on. And now we have this Greg Reese guy. He comes out with like a little 5-minute video that virology is all fake. But it was from the very beginning and the whole time of this very short video. I would say almost everything he says is untrue. And people are falling for it. I mean,
which video is that people are falling for again, Dave?
Well, Greg Reese came out with this thing that virology is all fake. But he's putting out lies about what virology even says claims to have proved. It's so ludicrous. It's unbelievable. And, you know, they've been talking about this no virus thing. I mean, I could talk to Horowitz, see if he finished his thing on it. You know, and I talked to a friend, and a friend had looked into things very deeply, but he wasn't the huge scientist in undergraduate. And he came back to me and said, Dave, you're right. They did make a bioweapon. And he was wrong, and he was fooled himself. And he's getting fooled by things. But I was the one who told him 15 years ago that 9/11 wasn't right. He was down in the city. He was down on Wall Street. And it took him 15 years at least to finally realize that, oh, what Dave said was right. And he dug so deep. But problem is, people who dig deep but they're shallow in looking at this stuff can be deceived by a lot of things that are out there. So I'm saying there's 1984 going on. People are being deceived. And they're being deceived by things which are demonstrably false, full of false information. And they readily believe, you know, like the word fell on the shallow ground with no dirt, and the seed sprung up, and the sun came out, and it killed it, as in Matthew parable of the sower in the seed. That's what's happening. People are so quick to jump to conclusions that they get on the wrong track. And somebody said, though, to me, they said recently, Dave, you could study 24/7 all the occult evil in the world and not even understand it all. But if you read the Bible and you try to get closer to God, maybe that would be more productive. And that was very serious. That was from someone who is a preacher filled with the Spirit, somewhat prophetic in nature. And that was a corrective statement to me. It said, you cannot know all the evil. But you have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You have to get closer to God.
It's one of the good things that come out of the Bible is that kind of wisdom, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, somebody's texting.
But that's okay.
But, John, anyway, there's 1984 going on here. People have to realize that even in the alt media, the truth that we allegedly have is limited truth, perhaps, and some of it we're being deceived into as well. We have to be very careful. And I know you tend to be very logical and firm, and that can help us sometimes. Okay, so that's all I really want to say.
Okay, well, caution. Dave, we appreciate the call. Thank you, appreciate it. The lawyer I worked with, Mr. Charles Shaw, he referred to me as a straight ahead thinker. Most of you don't know who Mr. Shaw was, but you probably saw the film The Great Escape, starring Steve McQueen. Mr. Shaw did in real life what Steve McQueen pretended to do. Mr. Shaw was captured and escaped from 5 German POW camps in World War II. He was a B-17 navigator. And the movie The Great Escape was based on the book that Mr. Shaw wrote. One of Mr. Shaw's sons part of the book had been misplaced, and I think it's all been recovered. And I'll talk to his son and see if he's about to publish it again. And if he does, I'll help promote the book. True story, very true story. Mr. Shaw was voted by his peers, the other attorneys in Eastern Missouri, as the best criminal defense attorney in Metro St. Louis for 30 plus years. And it was my privilege to be his second chair, his investigator, his paralegal, the last 7 years of his career. And it was quite a wonderful experience. Okay. The Holy Bible. I'm a big believer in the Holy Bible. There's a lot of wisdom there, wisdom that will survive centuries into the future. And I do recommend that people study the Bible, incorporate the values that are listed there, and seek out the wisdom that's in the Holy Bible. I think that would be a very smart thing to do, as well as turning your life over to our Lord Jesus Christ. That would be very foundational also and very helpful for all of us. The more people that do that, I think the better off we would be. Let's move on from there. We have an election coming up. If you're wondering, I know people who are wondering, what can I do to help? Well, get active locally. Find out what's going on in your county. Is there a election for a local sheriff? If there is, find out who the candidates are. If one of them is a conservative Christian patriot, support that candidate. The one thing the New World Order is very fearful of, and there's a lot of things, but one of them is these sheriffs in the 3,000-plus counties in the United States that are still elected sheriffs with the traditional powers of an elected sheriff. Some jurisdictions, they've dropped that. They have an appointed sheriff who no longer retains those powers. They did that in St. Louis County, unfortunately. But these candidates, they need two things. They need volunteer help and they need money. If you can contribute one or the other or both, you will help that candidate achieve their goal of being your sheriff in your county. There's other positions, of course. There's county officials, city council, mayors, school boards, library boards, hospital boards, all kinds of local elections that we need to have those positions filled with conservative Christian patriots. We were asleep at the wheel for decades, busy with our lives, our church, our family, allowing the communists, or the opposition I call the socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims, to get elected to those positions all over the country. And in some places, they had great success, such as California, Illinois, New York, other places, Washington State, Oregon. And they've basically captured those states, making them what we call blue states now. That's an unfortunate circumstance, but that's exactly what took place. If there is a movement in your state to have paper ballots counted with a carbon copy, counted at the precinct, one-day voting, no mail-in ballots, support that effort. If there's not, then maybe you can get one going. It's getting a little late in the game to be pull that off for this election. It may or may not be able to take place with the election this close, just over 200 days away. But if there's an effort already underway in your state house, your state legislature, by all means, support that effort. We need to do this. To save the republic, we need to have free and fair elections. On one hand. On the other, now, in your jurisdiction, if there is ballot harvesting and it's legal and a proper thing to do, then by all means, you should be part of that also. If there's mail-in ballots, participate in that. Whatever is legal in your jurisdiction, be part of it to get the most conservative Christian patriots to the polls, get them to vote. Something I was disappointed to hear, but not at all that shocked, is that many conservative Christian patriots have not even bothered to register to vote. They don't even bother to go vote themselves. That's a percentage of men and women that could change the outcome of these elections by itself if they would only register to vote and show up at the polls to vote. It would be a big help. Very likely, you know men and women who are conservative Christian patriots who don't bother to go to the polls. Oh, my vote doesn't count. Oh, I'm just one person. Oh, it doesn't matter. I can't change anything. You hear all the excuses. You hear all the excuses. That's all they are, is excuses. Especially in these local elections. I've mentioned several times how a woman I know ran for office here in our county. Her immediate family, her siblings, the in-laws, the adult nieces and nephews, more than 12, by the way, didn't bother to go to the polls, and she lost by 12 votes. How heartbreaking is that? To have your own family not to go to the polls to vote for you, and you lose by only 12 votes. That's not all that out of the ordinary, quite frankly. These city elections, county elections, are frequently decided by a very few votes. Frequently. It's not all that out of the ordinary at all. So there's time right now to talk to your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, people to go to church with, and get them registered to vote. And it looks like we have on hold my friend Tim. Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
Tim, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, fine. Well, Tim, We got about 10 minutes at the top of the hour. It's enough to give a quick summary of what we discussed last night. First of all, you live in Connecticut, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, now give us a quick summary of your experience in the U.S. Navy with large ships going in and out of these ports, if you would, please.
Okay, when I was in the service back in the late 80s, early 90s, I worked in CIC. It's called the Combat Information Center. And what I did, I was a plotter. So I would plot the course of the ship. And I worked on radar and sonar. And we had an integrated shipboard system, too, that was like a computerized system that was like a satellite-type system that we'd have a big board, and that would track it. And you could see the shoreline and how many miles you were out to sea. And, you know, when you come in and out of a harbor like that, like what happened with that... container ship.
You were on a helicopter ship.
Oh, I was on, yeah. I brought
about
a Hilo carrier out of...
cargo ship.
Yeah, yeah. It's smaller than an aircraft carrier, but, you know, it's about the size of, the cargo ship, a Hilo carrier.
Right.
And when you're coming in out of a harbor like that, you know, it's like all hands on deck because, you know, your water line is, you know, you got to stay in the center of the channel. You got people watching left and right, and that ship has got to be steering, you know, right in the center of that channel. So you don't, you know, what they call shoal water, it's shallow water, you know, that's on navigation maps, things like that. So you don't run aground. So it's the most important part of when you get on a ship and you're, you know, doing that. Once you get out to sea, like everybody's kind of like, you know, more relaxed, right. You know, because... it's just not as critical. But going in and out of a harbor, especially like that, you know, everybody's paying attention. You know, it's super, super important.
Right.
And, and I've done, on a smaller ship outside of, in San Francisco's harbor there, I've taken ships in and out of there, you know, 50, 60 times. And then I did the biggest ship I ever did was in San Diego Harbor. And that was going under. And you know those bridge sections, I saw in the news somebody was saying something about the bridge sections will float, or maybe that was on InfoWars or something. And that's true. The bridge section, if somebody ever took out that bridge going over San Diego Harbor, and that's going to Coronado Island, that's where the BUDS training camp is.
Right, right.
If somebody ever took that bridge out, those sections will float. And we knew that way back then, you know, back in the 80s. But anyway, getting back to what we're discussing.
Wait, sections of the bridge would float if they were brought down?
Yeah, yeah, yep. If they ever took that bridge out, those bridge sections.
And...
yeah, yep. Well, you know, our whole, the Pacific Fleet is there. And San Diego 32nd Street Naval Station is the biggest Navy base, or it was when I was in the world. It's huge. Monster size,
right,
you know.
Right.
Yep. They didn't keep aircraft carriers there that I really saw, but it was a lot of Hilo carriers, destroyers, frigates, guided missile cruisers, things like that. I mean, you could go to Google Earth and see the whole thing.
Right.
You know? Yeah, and it's, I actually did that, and I looked at, you know, I could see from Google Earth, and what a mess. I mean, you have ships with rust on them. It was pathetic, you know? Thank you, Joe
right.
Biden. You know? But anyway, to get back to what I was describing, so going in and out of a harbor like that, going through these channels and stuff, they, you know, you have to be super, super careful. You really got to know what you're doing, you know. And if we don't, we were going down a river one time going up through Portland, and they gave us a ship captain, a boat captain, to steer our ship for us, you know, just
right.
to be on the safe side. That did happen one time. But we were still on all our equipment. You know, I was in ops. I'm running the plotting table. And, you know, I actually, my job was I would give the captain recommendations on course changes.
Right.
And I'd have sound-powered phones on my head. I had another phone that was like a sound-powered phone on my, to the right side of me on a table. And right behind me on the wall, there was a red phone, and that was cryptic to talk to other ships and submarines and stuff like that. So I had a pretty important job.
I say so.
Yeah.
Now,
I knew what I was doing.
Let me ask you some questions. First of all, the cargo ship in Baltimore belongs to a
Maersk
company, a trillion dollar company.
Oh yeah, they're probably a trillion. Yeah, they probably are.
Yeah, they have the best equipment, the best men, the best trained men, don't they?
Oh, top of the line. The best of the best equipment, I'm sure, because they're going over the ocean. They're going overseas.
Point being, this was not some rusty cargo ship that was not properly cared for from some third world country, was it?
No, not at all. Not at all. If you look down the bridge on that ship, it's probably all state-of-the-art, GPS backup, computerized this, computerized that. You know, they have fail-safe systems. You know, in other words, I watched the video probably from 30 different angles. I watched it all day for, you know, I just couldn't stop watching. I'm like, what's going on here? You know, they have the video where the power goes out and then it comes back on. But you know what they were doing? They were speeding up that video, you know, so it looked like it was going a little bit quicker, you know, but still, I got the gist of it.
Right.
So when you're going through a harbor like that, and you're on course, all right? Your rudders are going in a certain direction,
right?
You know, and you're on course, and the power goes out, and then a couple minutes later, the power comes back on, and then all of a sudden, that ship was taking a hard right, going starboard, hard right turn, and that just does not happen,
right?
You know,
there's a fail safe.
It's impossible
when the power goes out. The failsafe is to keep the ship on the same course, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, those rudders are going. That ship is going. It made such a hard turn, it's just not possible. The only way it could have happened is which I doubt, that somebody spun the helm and made a hard right turn, you know, because the helm, it's all electronic. So when you turn the helm, the steering, aft steering answers the helm. You know, it's not like a mechanical thing like on an old ship, you know. It's all, you know, these big electric motors that turn your rudders.
Right.
And that's
huge electric motors. Right.
It's huge. And so it's all computerized. So when you turn the helm, boom, you know, the steering answers the helm. And when it's on autopilot, GPS controlled, you know, the GPS will tell, you know, give you course changes and directions for the helm. So I doubt very much, because there's usually so many people on the bridge in a critical, you know, maneuver like that, leaving a harbor. Right. I doubt very, very much that
anybody just was sent out, Mayday signal from the ship to the people operating the bridge to shut down the traffic. That probably saved a lot
there
of
you
lives.
Go.
Didn't
it? Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it saved a lot of lives.
Well, Tim, we appreciate the update, and let's do this again soon, okay?
Okay. Sorry I called so late today. I was on a call this morning I couldn't get off of.
Well, that's okay. We'll get caught up in a day or two.
All right.
So we've got to top there. Excellent. Back to questions again. Stay tuned.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC. Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.